Good morning.
Oops, forgot my notes.
I could probably wing it without them, but thanks, dear. So before I get to that back there, quick side note. So this was senior week at my daughter's high school. She was a cheerleader, so that's when they, before the football game, they would go out in the field and walk out with them and all that. But it also, and I don't know if they do this at other schools, is a tradition that parent or parents cheer with their daughter for the game. My wife's not real big on getting in front of people, so I volunteered. Some very funny videos, trust me. But she asked me, she said, if I was nervous before we went out to join the cheerleaders and cheer. We cheered for, quarter and a half, I think. We did like six, I was at practice Thursday night for 2 hours, and I gained a newfound respect for cheerleaders. And part of your question there, Dennis, the aches and pains, I'm pretty sure I pulled a muscle at cheer practice Thursday night. So I'm still dealing with that as well. But Denise, when we're sitting up in the stands before I'm getting ready to get down on the field to cheer, she asked me if I was nervous. And I said, no, not really. I actually get more nervous coming up here than I was to go out there and cheer. There's a lot more on the line with me up here. And I think that's why some of the nervousness. I was just out. I had a blast with it. I said, as long as you give me some pom-poms, I'm good. And I had fun, so it was great. It was lovely to be able to spend that opportunity to spend that time with her and do that. So behind me, we're talking about invitations today. And I thought this was kind of funny. I just wanted to go through and come up with a little bit of humor when we talk about invitations. But we realize that sometimes we show up to a party, to a wedding, sometimes it's awkward. We come up with so many excuses when we get invited to things, and we're going to talk about that today because we're talking about parables again. And today I'm going to talk about the parable of the great banquet, great feast. Depends on which gospel you're reading, slight variations. But in our daily lives, think about, I've come up with some really lame excuses to not go to things. You get the invite, and the only reason you're probably invited to some of these things is because, I think of the classic example, me and Denise have talked about this many times, is like weddings. The parents just want these people invited. So you end up inviting all certain people that, it's like you get the invite, it's like you go, yeah, I know they're only inviting me because they feel like they have to, And we come up with all those excuses. Oh, I don't have anything to wear. Oh, I got to go get a new dress. Oh, I got to go buy a suit. And basically, 9 times out of 10, it comes down to we just don't feel like going. I think about some of the invitations I've turned down, and we're going to see this example of this when we talk about Scripture today, where I've gotten some great invites. And for one reason or another, I just didn't feel like going. Penn State games, I have multiple friends that have season passes. It's going to be too cold. I think they're calling for rain. It is. It's a long drive, and it's a long day, You get the point. We can come up with millions of reasons. And that's, I love football. Everybody knows me, knows I'm a big sports fan. But yet we come up with those excuses to not be there or to go there. Sometimes there's cost involved. There's finances. I know recently, I've gotten to that stage in life where I just don't like the crowds or the traffic jams. You go to a concert, when you get out, talk about, traffic jams. Depending on what time of day. My brother-in-law left at 6 a.m. yesterday morning to go to the Penn State game. It was a night game. The game didn't start till 8 o'clock, and he's not a tailgater. He doesn't drink. So I know everybody was thinking, he was just getting up there early to tailgate. No, not the case with him. They just wanted to get up there and get settled in and beat all the traffic. But, I look at invites recently that I've gotten for concerts, and I stepped up only because, you know, some of them were ones that were on my bucket list. I've talked about this before, you know, AC/DC concert a couple years ago. Well, it was always on my bucket list. I wanted to see AC/DC. Guns N' Roses a couple years ago up in Hershey, you know, always wanted to see them. And in some case, I think AC/DC, I mean, I know it's all relative, but I should have went when I was younger because the prices of tickets nowadays. Well, my friend called me and said, hey, going to go down to see AC/DC. They were down in Philly. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I didn't even think about it. And then he texted me a couple days later after I'd already accepted the invite how much the tickets were. Let's just say it was on the upside of over $100. Let's just put it at that. So, but it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I was glad I was able to do it. So would you pray with me quick? Father, we come before you this morning to share your message, hopefully share some things that are helpful in our lives. I ask that you be with me and help me to share those things in a way that will be pleasing to you and will do your will and help others to bring to understand your scripture better. In your name we pray, amen. So this morning's main scripture was an invite of sorts. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And the reason I pulled that scripture and the example when I talk about when we get to the parable is without money and without cost. Talk about an invite. How you pass that one up? You know, he's saying, I'm here. Come to me. Not going to cost you a thing. You know, when they talk about wine and milk, you know, and the basically all the rewards you were going to reap, and it's not going to cost you a thing. So the parable we're talking about today, and last week I did a parable, and I talked to you, and I said basically I remember when I was younger, you know, that 10-year-old time frame in Sunday school, these were the things that stuck with me when we talk about parables. And it puts it in layman's terms, and it puts it into terms that are easier for us to understand. And I don't, again, necessarily think that my 10-year-old brain really grasped maybe the point they were trying to make, but again, what I really appreciated about the parables was the fact that they stuck with me. And that later in life, as I began to understand more, they made sense. And so for that, it's a wonderful memory, and it's a great way when you're dealing with someone, whether it's a child, whether it's a non-Christian, a parable can be a great way to share God's word and make a point. What we're talking about in this parable is the great feast. This basically came about, and depending on which gospel you're looking at, Jesus' response when someone at the table, which I forget which gospel, depending on which gospel you're reading, it's a different setting. But this is how Jesus responded when someone at the table said, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. So based when the person, this other man, no name, nobody of importance that I'm aware of that I could find, when he said, talked about the feast, this is what Jesus had to say. So Jesus spoke to them again in parables saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. So the kingdom, so God basically is sending out, and my interpretation was his son, was the servant in this story. And the great banquet, of course, was the kingdom of God. And he sends out Christ and basically goes to all those people that were invited and personal invitation, so to speak. Hey, come join me. And the thing about it was, they got, basically, there were a lot of turndowns. People came up with excuses. John 1:11, one of the scriptures that I came across as I was looking closer, a little bit more into this parable, John 1:11 said, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat and cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. So he's trying even harder. You know, one of the points that was made in this parable talked about how God was so much more willing to save the sinners than the sinners were to be saved. They paid no attention. They went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. These are people, and this is one of those things I didn't really understand when I was younger. The reference here was to the Jewish nation. This is basically God extending an invitation to the Jews. And this parable really debunked that myth that only Jews were welcome in heaven, into the kingdom of God. The rejection by the Jewish nation we see here in this parable when they're talking about people turning down the invite and basically mistreating them, the people that were extending that invitation to them, they mistreated them, they killed them, came up with all kinds of excuses. This really is what debunked that myth and opened up the door for the Gentiles. This is the scripture telling us that all were welcome into the kingdom. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. This is one of those parables, I mean, that really showed us the angry God. We know that God's a forgiving God, God's a loving God, but this was an example of an angry God. I think about that, and when we talk about the personal invites, I think about some of the invitations I turned down in my life, most notably probably family functions, and I probably made somebody mad by not showing up. But compared to this, that's nothing. You can usually make up for those shortcomings with your family, extend an apology, whatever the case may be. It's a lot easier to overcome that. But after what happened, he's mad. And he basically sent out an army in the parable and destroyed those people that were sinners, that rejected the invitation, burned their city. And this, I think, really was just meant to illustrate how angry he was. I can't even imagine at that point in time where this nation, supposed to be this God-fearing nation, of all everyone there, the Jews, are all supposed to be ready and ready to accept his invite. And yet, they turned the invitation away, killed the messengers, killed the people that were there to invite them. I can't even imagine the anger that God felt. This is where basically we find in Scripture that when other times we thought, if you read Scripture, it sounded like the kingdom, the banquet, the meal, the wedding feast was only open to the Jews. This is where we find out that's not the case. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So at this point, everybody's welcome. We know that now when we look at Scripture. We know that it's an open invitation to all. But until this point, you know, this is Jesus. This is Jesus sharing, basically, in layman's terms, that God welcomes all to his kingdom and to the banquet. He's using the layman's terms, the simple terms, to relate to the people he's talking to around him. That, man, I'm putting out this big spread. It's going to be wonderful. You don't want to miss it. But the people that he wanted to come turned him down. So you know what? I got this big hall rented out already. You know, we got the food, we got the wine, we got the music lined up. Hey, if they don't want to come, guess what? I'm going to invite a bunch of other people. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothing. So specifically in this Matthew, they use the word bad, bad people. When you read the different scriptures, I mean, he's going out, he's sending people out in the parable. Go down the alleyways, go the back streets, go to the dredges of society, the people that normally wouldn't be given a second look by the Jews. They were considered unclean, unfaithful. You know, and when I read the parable, and again, depending on which gospel you read, it's kind of neat when you look at some of these parables to look at all the different versions and just some of the minor variations and the minor differences. But he did not fill it up. He did not fill the hall up. And he sent them back out, and he said, go back out. And to me, that was an example of how there's room for everybody. It's never full. That's how I took that. That's how I read that. I think that's what Jesus meant to convey in that parable. Just keep going back out. Never going to run out of food. We're never going to run out of wine. They're always welcome. Keep going. And he basically said, if they accept my invitation, and that's the part that you have to be aware of. And I didn't catch that right away when I was thinking about this parable. But that invitation to receive his son is really what he's talking about. And then the Jews didn't accept that invitation. That's why they weren't welcome. Somebody showed up at the party and didn't receive Christ. And can you imagine, in the parable, it's the king. Could you imagine facing God and he asked you, where are your wedding clothes? How'd you get in here? Man was obviously speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That one really caught me off guard. But again, remember, we're talking about an angry God in this parable. An angry God in many respects, but also an angry God that was very welcoming and forgiving. He was angry to those that did not accept the invitation. But to those that did, he laid out a big spread and said, keep coming, keep coming. Doors wide open, plenty of room. But this one, man, this really, like, again, I think the emphasis here was to say, man, if you're getting that invitation and you're just turning it down and refusing it, it's not going to be good. You know, the weeping and gnashing of teeth made me think of the vision that many of us have of going to hell, what it's like. I've seen many adaptations in TV shows and movies when we picture that, going to hell and what it could be like, and all the crying, all the anxiety, all the just dread, and that's what this made me think of. And I think really what was intended in this parable is to remind us that it's not going to be pretty. And once you pass, if you don't receive Christ, you don't get that invitation. You don't get to attend the banquet. You don't get to the kingdom. Many are invited, but few are chosen. So, king keeps sending out his servants, keeps inviting. Plenty of people are invited to the banquet. Not everyone's chosen, though, as the Jews found out. It wasn't we're good, we're covered. You know, we're in the right group. What I really did appreciate about this was the fact that it reminded us that, again, I think the main focus of this parable was to let us know that when some rejected the invitation, it opened up the door for all of us. This was God's way of inviting us. He sent His Son as one of the messengers to let us know about the invitation, to let us know about the banquet that was going on. In one respect, I think that, and again, don't quote me on certain things, my interpretation may not always be correct. Read the parable, read the Gospels. You may draw some different conclusions. But again, my big conclusion was that, and I think it was the case all along, this was just one way of the Lord telling us in Scripture that the invitation was open and that the way to get there was not just by being of a certain faith. It had nothing to do with the robes you wore, the offerings you gave, the temple you worshiped in. It was more about accepting that invitation. And that invitation was to receive Christ into our lives. So I'm glad I got to read this. It was an eye-opening lesson this week for me. Hopefully maybe you take a couple minutes this week to think about it. It made me feel blessed that I do have the opportunity and did have the opportunity to receive the invitation. And I think that I was reminded by this parable and this scripture, a parable that I heard when I was 10 years old and would have never had a clue how much it really meant and how important it was that we accept that invitation when it's given to us. Thank you for your time, as always. I hope everyone has a wonderful week. If anybody has any needs of the church, please come forward at this time. You are invited, as always. Baptism is always open as well. Thank you.